activists will use their, I'm not sure where it crept into the biographical note, but it would be dishonest, since we used the word earlier on, of me to claim that really in any real sense. A great admiration for the activists who do this, some of whom suffer extraordinary consequences, like the American girl Rachel Corrie and other things. But yes, I spent a while in Palestine, and it's both my only valid claim to having experienced a war territory. The reason I went there was that I had published a book, my guide was a publisher, called The Resting Place of the Moon by Felicity. He told who the reading from it later on. And she, before it accepted it for publishing, she wanted me to actually verify or find credibility in it myself. She was living there at the time and she invited me out. She actually asked me out several times and I kind of declined. I mean, who wants to go to Palestine for your holidays or for a week? And she's a psychologist. I've got two teenage kids. And she said, well, why don't you go home and tell them that we picked them up in the Hamas tower at the airport? And I got an immediate yes, and we spent some time. It was very good for them, but it's made me very angry. I'm only, I think, with myself, because my generation, I think, didn't really carry through the 60s dream that was put there. I didn't even participate in that, to be honest. And most of my friends who did went into banking and other groups of profession and forgot the little activism that was necessary. And we have now what we have now. In February 2003, an invitation went out from Laura Bush to a select literary clientele in America, inviting them to a poetry called a White House Symposium on Poetry and the American Voice. And Sam Hamill of Canyon Press in America reacted by founding what has remained established as Poets Against the War. When I read about that, it gave me a poem which is about activism or non-activism. And I think I'll begin with that, sort of put myself in a real position for the rest of the poems that are here. What I want to do and how I want to do it, I would like to read about six poems from the Palestine sequence, one after the other. And then close with a poem dealing with something else, but which is about the same subject, and which is not lost in our fancy poems. However, there are a few small little notes I need to put in context. So the word called, the word Dunum, D-U-N-U-M, is used in one of the poems. It's a measure of land in Palestine, about 1,000 square meters. Of 25 acres, Dunham, D-U-N-U-M. It just sums up everything. There's a poem called Random Contact, which is a short poem about a killing, and it's in memory of a boy called Amjad. He was a 22-year-old counselor. He was just starting off in his career, and he was gunned down. The poem called The Hoopa Song, and this is the Hoopa Bolt on the cover. The Hoopa Bolt is native to Palestine and to the whole southern Middle East and North East. It was the messenger of the gods. It was the god that brought the secrets between Sheba and Solomon. It's a very important Arab icon, and interestingly enough, about 3 months ago, a vote in Israel selected it as the national vault of Israel, which may ultimately actually be something that has a positive element to it. There's a poem called In an Arab Hotel by a man dancing. That man is a man called Benunu, Mordecai Benunu. He was the Israeli who told the world about the existence of the Israeli nuclear bombs, basically. and has been in jail ever since. Well, not ever since, he's been out for a couple of years, living essentially in open prison in Jerusalem now. And actually, he's one of the greatest humanitarians of all time, without doubt. And then the final point of that is called "That Morning Will Come." And that's a phrase that came from an essay I was reading by Padraig Pearse, which he wrote in 1878. And in it he said, "Yes, the morning will come and its dawn is not far off, but it will be a morning different from the morning we have looked for." And it was an essay full of hope and dreams, and absolutely no violence or guns. Written, you know, 15 years before he had changed his mind and got involved with the 1916 writing. But very different deals. But Pearse always had a sense of hope about what he wanted. And I couldn't find any hope while I was in Paris, and I couldn't see it at all. But in fact, the poems that came out of it have a lot of hope within them, because it's hard not to hope. If you don't hope, what is there? So I hope that my reading of this will give you a sense that it moves from kind of a context, trying to set context. The first poem is in a village called Jayus, where the village has 7 water wells. The wall was built around the village, and they have 1 water well. So it's a strange existence that Palestinians live under. And I hope that you get a flavor of what war does to people, truly. And yet, they're not war poems from back then. The political poems that were written in sort of 17th and 18th centuries in Ireland, in the Irish language, tended to conduct politics into love stories. And this happened here as well. Tonight, you know what's happening. So the first poem, it's called "Roommates in Jails." We are deep-rooted and vines, flowers and birds of our songs. We share the supplies of stone and water. Our loving is brief. Like the midday heat, our hatred is long. Generosity dries like a stolen well. In sunshine, our shadows pull our fields to harvest. So bitter for holy places, we lust for hilltop, valley, river, stream. Is it because we tell our story that we share this flow of shuffled glass? Is the melody all peeled from our song? Is the wall too high? Who tells apart our hearts? Who will not hear? Who tells our eyes apart? Who will not see? Who cuts the trunk so branches will dry? Who drinks the water, dries the sky? As each day dies, we wait in darkness for a dawn, and then we bury our dead. All things are the way. How could you leave me without the goodbyes we needed? No share of you surrendered, boundary drawn. Love was quartered in an olive grove that sleeps with generosity. Sunshine drives the harvest shadow, peeling stories from the sand. Now I wander night. My days fade, the imagination's done on the wall. Memory, bleached with spent shells of doubt, snagging the riddles of history. All this ratline of our territory, where olives lie untenanted, folding, unheld, and open hands. The separation wall, which is a 46 foot high concrete wall, which is actually, if you stand back from it and remove it from its context and the people it divides and kills. It's actually a beautiful object. It's a poem. It's a scar across the landscape, right through it. It exists in Cork City, a wall, probably 6 foot high, 0 4 foot thick, solid concrete, and just built at random right across the street, in difference to how it divided the city. The separation wall. Who cast such lovely words for prison walls, embedded on the coldest foaming rock, to herald a hidden story growing stock? There are no crevices on this great pole. It is stone, melted into stone, on stone. The stone wall dreams of olive grove and wells. No dark or tones hum a melody, no elves. No hold to handshake history's slender dawn. Yet, watch imagination slip or flip in wonder leap at night to feel it off. Its cocoon, moistened by the light of moon, will transmute there to breed in bread and dip and feed the stony silence. From this cross, all children sing their separation chant. At a crossroads in the town of Hebron, set against the shop front wall, 5 men squat, and we cannot tell the tide behind our back. Soldiers writing us to call the head. We know someone will die. We watch in the safety of skin, passports and number plates, gun shy in fear of young soldiers following orders, giving orders. A rifle barrel in my son's face, strangers everywhere. Anger suppressed, down the pit, a half laugh. Move on. Through our rear window, the 5 men squatting still. We know someone will die. All around us, churches, stone downsteps and people. Temples, sacred touching, incense offering. But the stone is cold to the palm, the eyes are cold to my look, the hands wrapped in their souls are sober, busy, efficient. There is no time to pause for a taste of Calvary or Bethlehem. There is no time for Ramadan. We know someone will die. Random contact. In memory of Andreas, 22 years late. The man in the watchtower touched an easy trigger, and a bullet left its chamber, zipped out of the gun muzzle on its way, a lead hopped, set in shell and socket, pending destination. This journey is a sight. Between the barrel head and the soft mulching of skin, muscles and bone, perhaps it asks a question, sense its transitory freedom. The man in an upstairs room, half a mile distant from his inside home, has been penning a story on his new desk by the window, this evening or evening. Checkpoint option. I got an email this morning from another fan. The checkpoints are in the morning. Method of war. 21-year-old woman, pregnant, went into labor, being rushed by car to hospital, 4 miles away. Checkpoint in the middle. Brought to Calder, stopped, the soldiers pumped back and went inside, came out 20 minutes later. Refused them to the pass, they telephoned for an ambulance, by the time the ambulance got there, the baby was dead. The soldier got 14 days detention. More of the same thing. Checkpoint sergeant. If I search you at some checkpoint crossing, what might I find? Only a heart beating? In that heart beating, love or singing? In their voices, my voice calling? In my voice calling, you speaking? And in speaking, all of your joyfulness. In that joyfulness, my song fading. If I search you at some checkpoint crossing, might I find a love of singing towards your lips for kissing? and this touching, your eyes on mine, in your eyes my tears falling. With their fall, knowing your seeding, in your seeding, a new voice calling. If I search your loveliness, will pockets unfold, reveal their presence in your skin's telling. On his side to remember, the perfumes filling the sound of new voices calling, in calling, calling, my lips sealing, in sealing, sealing, my heart breaking. When I searched your breath so gently, I found your heart beating as you passed from me to the mountains and into the shadows. I found your heart beating and you leaving me here, breathing. Voice. I have a voice, I tell myself, I have a voice, a silent voice, flickering in its circus tent, kneeling in the back pews, throat singing its private melodies, inaudible, discordant. Will that voice come now to the 100,000, one by one, of dead, buried and dead, for somebody's manger, Mandukare. Will it say, go, speak where others speak, sin against the king, test right, best timidity. Negotiation of the song, with its rhythm, rhyme and wrong, gunpowder robes wrap its bed and tell their crime. Will it say, go test the dead, find their word, see in their faces, symbols love grafted from another ground, and fear of democratic death. Long silence is a hateful place to be. Go, beat the hurry drum, cry the rowdy pipe, play the living, march the dead, hide the coffin, bury signature of the dead. How sweet is the offer of the freedom, blown to pieces, untombed flesh. A tone, in tone, as you or I, with Bibles and Quran, and silence, acquiesce. I have a voice. Is it too late? Is someone dead? Ubo song. I spent the whole time there looking for Ubo song. And it took to the last day of the month. In the dark by Herod's family tomb, the grass is brightly green as we walk the hour before mass, passing time in July. Jerusalem heaving its evening breathing, uncertain of its silences, shadows are deep overhead, and picnic children run about. Our bell tolls. Muezzin calls to prayer, will never crowd this sunset air from every minaret, with rough metallic melody, insistent, and exotic overtures and nourishment. Our ears have held that chord through days walking bazaars of primary colours, spicy air, and all those disappearing faces whose stories we make up and borrow for ourselves. Each day, each journey south, I have been waiting for a hoover bird, in vain. The whole West Bank seems barren of those messengers, no hoopers, none of Bethlehem, Chayus, Hebron, none when we strolled road to Jericho in the Dead Sea. We crossed the pavement, stepped down to the grass by spreading trees that fill the park with comfort ease, and cool places where we find tales to remember, swap dreams, pretend what might yet be. Then Jihan smile surprises every face as down from a leafy tree, large two, zebra winged and slender, beautiful, two for the birds. And then three. Sky priests, digging, strutting, lifting, standing, pecking. There is the clarity of excitement in conversations, for these are the messengers of God, tellers of tales, finders of pathways, speakers of truth. All possibilities here, all the Palestine gatherings here. As our eyes dodge the softly subtle things in our view, the stripes of black and white, the opening crested crowns, like those haunting faces in the towns of ours, without voice and call or hoop or song, they are gone, and time for mass has come. Exceptions to the truth of the Darwish, the Palestinian poet who died just about a month ago, the great Palestinian poet. And he lived in exile for, I don't know how long, about 20, 40 years of his life. And he used the phrase here and there when he was speaking about his home and his exile here and there. And that's the reference to the exceptions to the truth. To forget, someone must remember. Meanings of the earth and time scramble in a dominion scope where borders play take like grown children, loving life among trust alone. Here and there, Darwish imagined. There are no survivals, only exceptions to the truth, writing out those silences, where holding on is a victory and letting go is a dying. His prayer and would-be poem read a spiral's code to wash in our volcano's bellies, fermenting spittle pride. We are sometimes lost in bubble's blood, sometimes finger-touching the whole world's love to know it boils. Death will complete us, so we hope not to die completely, to be only half forgotten. In an Arab hotel, the oud player in an Arab hotel lifts voices and seats celebrating the alfresco restaurant. The man has come again. They chant his name to drumbeats. Dance, man, dance, with us. Why wouldn't he? 18 years cell bound. A slow smile of their old nods, no, the man will not dance. No one doubts his feet are nimble and his spirit strong. 18 years in Ashkelon. A solitary decade silent, a curfew in Jerusalem. Hope waits hidden under a well tanned crown while the dance goes on. Tomorrow, in the pool of the American colony, the man will swim. No one dances there. That morning will come. This is the 9th from the hill. When the morning comes, will it lie so distant, cold and hidden, like your eyes and mine? When the song is sung, will it wear a call to stall the bone, marrow foot and sweet? We have felt the night march on, ravishing the crevices of history and tempting our resolve. We hold our borderlands to taint and taunt of dark and day. You and I could share a bed of sandy clay and red porous rock, and though the wall is high, the coin that spins will fall. As morning's melody, we spray the stormy beats, our tune become the ethanol of dark, for when the die is cast between our distances, its rule will cause the walls to tilt towards flags and falls. We know that dawn has gleamed its shine, and the day waiting its share is near. Here is the time to play beyond the shadows we have tempted in the hills. There is a gentleness in no, in what's unsaid, in looks unseen. There is the overbrilliance of a rising sun, and when we kiss again, a second door at dawn. That morning will come. Before the Palestinian visit, the one I'd like to close with, back in 1990 or so, an Indian holy man decided to roll across the Indian border, Punjabi-Pakistani border, for peace. Now by roll, I mean roll on the ground, leaving his elbows and his knees and sort of having stuff over and over. And I had to go back and check and recheck, and I almost have to do it every time, the distance he traveled. He traveled 2,000 And he made it to the end, and for all my loving days will be alive. I wasn't there to see this, even though I say so in the poem, because what I saw was a documentary done on it showing this, and then it was literally such an event. Just what happened was extraordinary. And this is kind of a song or a poem about a tribute to it, and I think about the
hear me without it. Is that all with us? I tried without it. You think it's better with it? So yeah, I see that moving away from back, and I might shout too much. It's called Notam Baba. To all our hand-clapped rhythm of prayer and celebration, to the silence of the desert trail and mountain track, to the hum-trub tread of car and truck, to the lift and twist of elbowed knee, to the pain of open wound on me, to the beat of silent dream. Roll on. Roll on, Baba, I was there to see you roll along our planet crust and make us tracks for peace. At the crossroads, one of many I was there, watching with the curious and committed, the victims and the dead, your sweet agenda. And we became the whirling dervishes, or jumping warriors headbutting cloudy skies, or ballet dancers gracing nocturnes of the field by Chopin, haunting the insidious among the rocks and dust and crevices of your long route through hell and smell and clay nose. Matted hair and body baited, free of pain, so full of it, only a mind to drive it on beyond barriers of mass, but on. Roll on, Baba, turn and gyre upon this ground. Roll along our planet crust and make us tracks for peace. To all our hand-clapped rhythm of prayer and celebration, to the silence of the desert trail and mountain track, to the hum-trub threat of car and truck, to the lift and twist of elbowed knee, to the pain of open wound on me, to the beat of silent dream, roll on. To the beat of silent dream, roll on. Thank you.